This is an interesting passage. The Sunday before Palm Sunday, because this incident that we just heard in the Gospel of John is what happens directly after Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. So think about it. The crowds have been gathering. It is time for the big Passover feast. Jerusalem is just getting crowded as can be. And there, lining the streets, are these palm branches, whatever branch people have, their cloaks and everything, and they're throwing them down. And in comes this man on this donkey, and these crowds are shouting, "Hosanna." And you're this Greek in the community going, "What's going on?" And someone says to you, "Well, that's Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth. He has been doing miracles all over Galilee and beyond. And he thinks we have heard him say that he is the Son of God. And look, he's the Messiah. He's come." And so there you are going, I got a celebrity in my midst. I need to go get that autograph. I need to say, I shook hands with Jesus of Nazareth. So these Greeks go over to, well, first they find out who they need to go see, and they go see them. They go see Philip and Andrew, and they say, "Hey, can you get me an audience with this Jesus?" So what do you think Jesus does? This completely amazes me. I love Jesus. He does things so unconventionally. Here they come to meet him and to greet him, and they're ready to hear all these wondrous things of the world. And what he says to them is he tells them a parable. He tells them the parable about the grain of wheat, and that it must, in order to produce fruit, it must die. Think about being that Greek person who just heard that and kind of going, huh? What does he say? What does he mean? And he talks about those who love their life here on earth will lose it, but those who love the Lord will gain everything. And if they will be my servants, wherever I am, they are. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. I think I'd be puzzled. But then I think I'd be a little bit more puzzled by his next statement. Jesus says, remember, this is the crowd he's speaking to. This isn't just a group of his disciples who he needs to teach. He is sharing this with the crowd and these newcomers. This is kind of new members, guests showed up to church, and this is what they're getting to hear from Jesus. He says, "Now my soul is troubled. Now my soul is troubled. And what should I say? Father, save me from this hour." Let's stop being the Greeks for just a few moments and think about being Jesus. Think about being Jesus. That here you are with all these crowds and adoration happening around you. You haven't heard the murmurings that are also on the fringe of that crowd, the murmurings of, "We need to get rid of him. He's trouble. He's a rebel. He's a little bit radical. He's a renegade." He's not hearing those. Right now, he's surrounded by those he loves. People are coming because they want to see Jesus. And there he is, recognizing the truth of what's happening in just a few days. And his soul is troubled. Remember, Jesus is human. He's not just God. He's human. And that human side of him is just aching. Can you imagine that he's thinking, maybe if I stayed, maybe if I could live. But for Jesus, it was about that long. Because the next sentence after, "Should I ask my Father to save me?" It's, "No, it is for this reason I have come to this hour." It's a moment in his life when he wonders. So his servants are there gathered around him, just as we are gathered around his word this morning. And we are told that we are to follow Christ. We are to follow Christ. We are to share this Jesus that people want to see. But Jesus isn't here on earth anymore, is he? The only Jesus anyone can see is you and me. Have you ever looked into the face of another and seen Jesus? Have you ever realized that maybe you are the Jesus that has come into someone else's life and shared the story of his salvation because you tell your story of how you were saved? Have you ever been a troubled soul because you know what you're called to do as a follower of Jesus Christ? Remember, as Jesus is sharing this story with the Greeks and with the disciples, he's sharing the story of the radical nature of being a follower of Jesus Christ. That what we have to die to is ourselves. We have to die to the things that bind us to the world so that we can be born anew in the things of heaven, of the kingdom of God. That every day we have to make the choice for God and not for self. And that dying to self continually nurtures within us the life of Christ, that we can be born anew, that people begin to see Jesus more clearly in us, because everyone wants to see Jesus. And we can't see him face to face right now, but we can see him face to face. But it gets troubling, because sometimes our souls are troubled by what that means. That we have to make a choice for family or Christ. Sometimes we have to make a choice for things we enjoy doing or following Christ. That maybe we have to make a choice for spending some time just doing nothing versus spending some time doing what Christ is calling me to do. The choice to follow Jesus also means Jesus will be with us every step of the way. But he also tells us that we can't pursue the darkness. We need to look to the light and follow the light of Christ. Because, brothers and sisters, the world is pretty dark right now. And we can make all sorts of choices to escape from the darkness. We can make choices in terms of how we use our recreation time, how we use our family time, how we use our time when we should be in worship. But the choice that we are asked to make is the choice to follow Christ. Because I believe that God is calling for a new heaven and a new earth. That God will dwell here among us. God did not make creation so that he could destroy it and we would all be in heaven. But as darkness begins to creep upon God's created world, we have to make the choice for God. We have to allow our souls to be troubled when we're going into places that feel just a little bit dangerous for us to go. When Duck United Methodist Church made that choice to open their fellowship hall to be a sanctuary for the homeless, they did not anticipate that there would be crime, homeless against homeless, that would cause someone's death. But the choice is still made to open the doors, because that brokenness needs to know God's light, not the darkness of the world. I've heard us say that we can't go into Henderson at night because it's unsafe. Do we pray for Henderson? Do we pray for those who prey on people in Henderson? Do we pray for those who prey on people in Vance County? Do we pray for ISIS that preys upon the world? Our souls are troubled that they may win. But when we say that, we say that God can't. Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem called strangers there in the crowd who wanted to see Jesus because of the activity and the excitement that Christ was in their midst. Christ is in our midst right now, right here, in each and every one of us. That light of Christ shines in us all. We can either make the choice to quench it and follow the ways of the world, or we can allow our troubled souls to be like Jesus's and say, all right, this is tough, but God, this is your will. This is where I'm going, and I'm stepping out where you're calling me to step. I've been in very deep prayer where God is calling us as the body of Christ to go. And I ask that you continue to pray with me so that not only will God reveal through God's light how we as the body of Christ can be light here, but how we will get through those places that might trouble our souls as we go there. Every one of us knows the struggles that are going on in our own homes. Every one of us knows struggles that are going on in the homes of those we love and maybe those we don't love. But God's redeeming light and power and grace come through the cost of the cross. Christ knew that day when he met those Greek people that his transformation was for the world, and they were just one evidence that the world wants to see Jesus. The world wants to see Jesus. And the only Jesus they can see is you and me. So when your soul is a little troubled, maybe the Holy Spirit is working in there, saying where you need to go or where we need to go, so that we can go into God's light and let that refining fire burn away any fears or doubts that that's the wrong path. Next Sunday, we step forward into that time in Jerusalem. May we step forward knowing that triumphant walk is a walk that leads to the cross, but the cross isn't the final story, is it? Because we have Easter morning to celebrate the resurrection. And brothers and sisters, we are children of the resurrected Christ. That light overcomes darkness. Christ is the victory over death. So may our souls be just a little bit troubled this day. Amen.